may have noticed that they announced Ted Seraphim here, but due to work commitments, Kofi called for a stunt double today, so here I am. It's with great pleasure that I introduce Steve Thompson, BC's Minister of Forest, Lands, and Natural Resource Operations. Steve was elected to represent the riding of Kelowna Mission in 2009 and was first appointed to Cabinet in March 2011. He has served as Minister of Natural Resource Operations, Minister of Energy, and Minister of Agriculture and Lands. He is the former Executive Director of the BC Agriculture Council and has developed his career and experience working on behalf of BC's farmers and ranchers. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Minister Thompson.
Well, thanks, Alan. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for that very brief and appreciated introduction. That's always always good, and it's great to be here again with you. I want to recognize on the traditional territory of the Kleklé Tené and thank them for their invitation to be here and to participate with you in this convention. It's also great to see the turnout and the attendance here, because I reflect back on I think a number of years ago when I think there was the decision not to have this process in the annual meeting, and then you see what has developed over the last number of years, how you've reinstituted the convention and the community dinners, and seeing the increasing attendance all the way through the process. And I think that's a real reflection of the optimism in the industry and the interest. And so it's great to see everybody here this morning. I know there are a number of my colleagues in the room as well. I would appreciate them being here. Shirley Bond is here, the MLA for the region, and the Minister of Jobs, Tourism, and Skills Training. Mike Morris, MLA for Prince George Mackenzie, is here as well, I know. Thanks, Mike. And Mike's also a parliamentary secretary to my ministry. I see former Minister Pat Bell, I think, is in the room as well. Great to have you here, Pat. And thanks for the little tour last night of barrel tasting some of the very early stages of your new vision and your new dream there. That was really great to see. I also know, I think, Harry Baines is in the room. We colleagues from across the floor in the legislature, and also the critic for forestry. I was chatting with John Horgan last night. The leader of the opposition said he might be here. I don't know whether he's coming to the room or whether he was just giving me the gears last night that he'd be here watching me from the back of the room. But recognize that we all have a very, very strong interest in the forest industry. We've also got, I know, in the room, First Nation chiefs, councillors from the region and across the province. Wanted to welcome them as very, very important partners in the industry. And I also know there are many people here from local governments and communities as well, who are also very, very important partners as we move forward. So I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. I should probably just start with a quick comment with respect to the new opportunity for James Gorman, who will be leaving Kofi and moving into a new position, and just to recognize on behalf of the province the tremendous contribution that he has made to your organization over the last, I think it's 18 or 19 months that he has been at the helm in the organization. And I know that he will continue to play a very, very active role in the industry and in his new position, and continue to have very active role in some files such as the softwood lumber negotiations or engagement and all of those kind of things. So he's certainly not leaving the industry, but I do want to really recognize the contribution that he has made to your organization. I also just want to digress for a quick second here before I go into the into my speech, because one of the things that wasn't in the introduction that was provided is quite often when the introduction is given, there's a bit of a reference to my past rugby career and the years and years of banging around on fields here and internationally in the rugby community. Which some people reflect stands you well for politics and stands you well for engaging with industry and everything like that, because you know nothing's as intimidating as standing across from the New Zealand All Blacks with a full-on haka being done in your face and things like that. But I do, one of the things that I'm quite proud of, both from the province and from just my interest, is the recent work that we've been able to do as a province to help support Rugby Canada in being successful in becoming a host city in Vancouver at BC Place for the Rugby World Sevens, which our first opportunity will be provided in March of next year. And this is a tremendous achievement for rugby, both profile of the game and also profiling British Columbia as a great place to host sporting events. We've got the FIFA Women's World Cup coming up. But this rugby opportunity will bring the top 16 sevens teams in the world to Vancouver on an ongoing basis. This is not just a one-off agreement. This is a three-year renewable contract, and is really going to help showcase the game. So I always want to take that bit of an opportunity to say that if you're a rugby fan, there's some great opportunities coming up. To watch this very, very exciting part of the game in the Sevens tournament. This is in prelude to Sevens becoming a event at the 2016 Olympics in Rio. And if you're not a rugby fan, you should go anyway and watch the opportunity for when the opportunity comes up, because it is really, really exciting. It's a tremendous part of the game. It's in a festival atmosphere and everybody will have just a great time, and we get to witness a little bit of that next week in Langford and on the island with being a stop for the Women's World Sevens tournament. So the top women's sevens players are coming to British Columbia next week, and our Canadian women actually are ranked higher than the men's team on the world stage. They're second or third in the world, and they are competing in the qualifying process for the Olympics as well. So we're going to have a great opportunity to see them in Langford next weekend. So just a little bit of a plug around a personal passion. So thank you for allowing me to do that. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about the forest industry, current work that's underway within the provincial government, collectively with industry around the forest file, because it is recognized and acknowledged and understood the important role that forestry plays in the economy of British Columbia. We know that this province was built on the foundation of our resource economy, and we know that forestry is a critical part of that resource economy in British Columbia for both the province and for forest dependent communities. And so we are committed to continue to work collectively with the industry to ensure that we can continue to build on the opportunities that are here in the industry, meet the challenges that are ahead of us. And we know there are challenges. We acknowledge that, and we need to work collectively through those. But there's also a great opportunity because this industry has been built on a history of resilience, on a history of innovation, on a history of engaging partnerships, on a history of strong environmental stewardship in the industry. And we know we have a solid platform to build on going forward. There was an article in the I think many of you may have seen it in the Vancouver Sun this week entitled, you know, "Don't Forget BC's Forest Industry." And what I'm here to say is that myself, my colleagues that are here, colleagues in government, do not take the industry for granted, and we are committed to continue to work with the industry to ensure that we build that positive future for the industry. I've been fortunate to be the forest minister. Maybe some people may say unfortunate to be the minister, but I've been fortunate to be the minister during a time when there's been recovery from the global economic downturn that hit hard from 2007 to 2009. 2014 was you know a good year for the industry. Forest products exports totaled $12.4 billion, representing 35% of BC's exports, a staggering increase of 63% since the 2009 downturn. Direct employment has increased to almost 61,000 direct jobs from a low of 50,000 in the 2009 era. So that's a significant increase. Over the next 3 years, we're forecasting direct forest revenues to rise from $757 million today to $907 million in 2017-18. And we know that a healthy forest sector, healthy economy, or healthy forest sector is part of a healthy economy, which helps all of us and my colleague, and particularly the Minister of Finance, balance the budget. And I'm very, very pleased to be able to stand here as a member of Cabinet and a member of government that has tabled our third consecutive balanced budget, which has led also to an enhanced AAA credit rating, an improved AAA credit rating for British Columbia. And that's all about having a plan and sticking to that plan and maintaining that discipline. And that is good news for all of us. And it's good news for the forest sector, because we need to ensure that we continue to have an economic and investment climate here in British Columbia that continues to support the industry. And having a balanced budget and having a AAA credit rating is a big part of that climate that you need here in British Columbia to help move the industry forward. As I said, we know that the forest industry is a key foundation for the province. That was reaffirmed in a study that was commissioned by your organization, a number of organizations earlier this year around the economic impact of the industry. It reaffirms, that study reaffirmed what all of you in this room know, that forestry has made it through the tough times and continues to evolve into an adaptive, innovative, high technology industry. I believe that the success that we're seeing in the sector today is a result of the collective work that we have done and have been doing over the past number of years, and in particular the input that we have received from your associations, your organizations, your companies have been critical in helping us do that. We've had a number of strategy approaches. Our strategy around the natural advantages of British Columbia is all important work, but most importantly now is the work that we're embarking on with the support of your industry and your associations around the forest sector competitive strategy. It's building on the work that has been done previously. It was highlighted in the throne speech this year, and so senior ministry staff are working with your industry associations on ways to assure that the industry, BC's forest sector, remains competitive. It's set out around five objectives in the work that is being done through the competitiveness lens. It's the basis is about our firstly needing to ensure that we have a reliable and sustainable timber supply, and we're going to do that by looking and targeting investments in forest growth, enhancing inventories, using residual fiber more effectively, building a strong integrated management approach, one that is supported by a cumulative effects assessment framework, which takes into account the combined effects of past and present and future actions that impact the economic, environmental, and social value of the land, and builds upon the sector's strong commitment to sustainable forest management. Second part of the work is to ensure that we have a competitive hosting environment for the industry, and we can help accomplish this objective by ensuring that the full AAC is available and utilized, by examining our timber pricing system, options for predictable pricing, by improving forest inventories, by incorporating new technologies, by streamlining log handling procedures, and by implementing recommendations from the BC Timber Sales Effectiveness Review, and ensuring that the full profile of BC Timber Sales is provided to the industry across the business cycle. And I think this will continue to build on the work and success that we have had in that area. We really have focused hard and with a lot of pressure on our organization in BC Timber Sales to make sure that they achieve that objective. And I'm very, very pleased to be able to say that we have achieved that. Now, it hasn't been easy, and I know that in meeting that objective, it's been a little bit, what the industry portrayed to me is a little bit lumpy in terms of the timing and how and when we made those objectives. But I think the key is we made them, and that was a commitment that I had made previously to the industry, and one that we've delivered on. Now we need to continue to enhance that and continue to have that going forward, so that we make sure that we don't take our foot off the gas pedal in terms of that objective, and ensuring that we do that while we implement the recommendations, the continuing recommendations that came from the BC Timber Sales review. And to that end, you will know that we've recently introduced Forest Act amendments in the legislature around implementing further some of the recommendations from the review that will increase the competitiveness of the sector and support accurate pricing of crown timber, improve the marketability of lower quality beetle-culled timber by equalizing financial risk with cruise-based and scale-based timber licenses, generating revenue for timber sales to allow them to recover unamortized value of crown assets, and provide forest management services to licensees and government organizations. So all steps that help improve the effectiveness of the BC Timber Sales operations. There's also recommendations that we're implementing that don't require legislative change. They're policy and operating direction to BC Timber Sales, and we will continue to keep our focus on ensuring that we do that, and that we meet the objectives of getting that full profile out through BC Timber Sales. And I met with your board and management group this morning at COFI, and that message was reinforced to me this morning, and I reinforced our government's commitment to make sure that we continue to do that going forward. The third objective in support of the competitive strategy is certainty around the land base. We need to do this by continuing to enhance First Nations' role in the forest sector and ensure the issues addressed to strength of claim and accommodation and work with the First Nations is a key piece of providing that ongoing certainty for the industry, but also ensuring that we recognize and provide the opportunity and the economic growth and development within First Nations communities in the province, and their participation in the sector as partners, and that work is a very, very high priority focus of government. We're engaged across ministries in addressing that, and we will continue to work with the industry on that as part of our competitive strategy. We also need to ensure that we recognize and address concerns with respect to species at risk strategy and some of the risks, the important work that we are doing in that area, but also the risks that relate to critical area designation under federal legislation, and we're well aligned with the forest sector and resource industries on BC's work in that area, and that's another key piece to ensure that we keep the industry competitive. And engaging communities through the Rural Economic Advisory Committee, Rural Advisory Committee that we've established, that is being chaired by Donna Barnett, the MLA for the Cariboo Chilcotin, and we're looking forward to her work in that area. We've got a great group of representatives as part of that council from all across the province, all skills and background and experience to help continue to provide advice, and much of that advice will feed into the work of the our work with the forest sector. Our fourth objective is to grow markets for BC Wood, diversify our product range. We'll support this by continue to expand offshore markets through our Forest Innovation Investment and Canada Wood Group, continuing with our targeted trade missions, targeted market analysis, moving forward on softwood lumber engagement with the US, advocating for the non-residential lumber use across North America, and very, very importantly, continuing to communicate the environmental and social benefits of BC's forest management regime, and continuing and maintaining our commitment to using wood first. So I'm very, very pleased this morning, in addition to, as a key part of this strategy, strategic objective within the strategy, to be able to announce this morning on behalf of my colleague, the Minister of International Trade, the Honorable Teresa Watt, the funding commitment to ensure funding for market initiatives through FII. So it's very, very a great pleasure this morning to announce that the province, through FII, is investing $6.2 million in joint development initiatives. So that's $6.2 million. That's $6.2 million is provided to 8 industry trade associations that operate market development programs in Asia, United States, and other major markets. Specifically, $3.34 million is going to the Canada Wood Group for its joint programs in China, Japan, Korea, and more recently in India. Your organization, COFI, is receiving an additional $300,000 for efforts focused on growing the share of SPF in China and Japan. And we all know that market conditions shifting, with the U.S. market recovering, more than ever now, we need to keep up our efforts to spread the word about BC's and Canada's world-class wood products. We have opportunities on the horizon, demand building for BC wood products in markets like India, South Korea. And so this collaborative model that we have had with industry, with the federal government through Natural Resources Canada, and you heard yesterday the commitment of the federal government towards these initiatives. All of this, the provincial funding, the partnerships, leverages and provides funding that totals a total international program of over $22 million in 15-16. So we know in British Columbia we lead the world in supplying sustainable softwood lumber products, a position that is being acknowledged through the hard work of industry with the strong support of the government, BC government and the government of Canada, and we need to keep our leadership position in those markets. Finally, the last objective of our forest sector competitive strategy will be to continue to drive the innovation and diversification agenda through targeted investment, support for applied research, and development of policies that support alternative wood-based product manufacturing and investment, and regulatory reductions that drive innovation. I know there's been a lot of discussion on that here over the last couple of days, a panel discussion around the use of residuals, use of the entire fiber basket, not just saw logs, earlier this morning and yesterday, lots of discussion on that. We have a lot of work underway with the Forest Fiber Working Group, currently focused on examining ways to increase fiber security for the users of lower quality and residual fibers, as well as to increase overall fiber utilization. It's a key mandate piece that was provided in my mandate letter from the Premier, and we're doing the work to follow through on that mandate direction. I know a lot of very good work has been done by industry and the ministry in addressing that area of policy work, and I'm very much looking forward to receiving the recommendations from that Forest Fiber Working Group in the near future, and we'll be looking forward to moving forward on those on those recommendations. We do have some tools in place, supplemental forest licenses, fiber supply licenses to cut, other tools in place, but we know we need to continue to work to enhance all the existing tools, as well as looking at some new ones. So that is will be a key area of work as we address the next stage of this as the recommendations come forward. All of these objectives are key pieces of all of that. This is a staged process in terms of moving forward. We need to work with you to determine the immediate priorities that can be delivered under those objectives, what we can do right away, what we can do in the intermediate term, and what we can do in the longer term in looking at all of those strategies. The one key piece of it all is to ensure that as we do all of this, that we keep the word competitiveness at the forefront. So we need to look at all of the policy decisions and direction in that with that lens in place. So, you know, does what we're thinking of doing or what we need to do improve the competitive position of the industry, or does it impact it in some way? Does it add cost? Does it remove cost? All of those kind of things. That lens has to be put on all of those policies, and that was the theme of what was directed in the throne speech commitment, is to ensure that we position this industry to be competitive internationally, competitive globally, competitive domestically in the years ahead. We know we face significant challenges. We know we face challenges with respect to declining timber supply in regions of the province. We need to make sure that with the full utilization with the fiber supply that we have, that we are as competitive as we can be, that we have a foundation for the industry going forward over the next number of years that will continue to allow us to adjust and transition to those challenges and those changes. And that's our commitment on the part of government to work with you to do just that. We have seen lots of as I said earlier, lots of resiliency, lots of innovation of the industry. In the industry, when you look at some of the work in new product development, like cross-laminated timbers with structure lam, other work that's being done in FII, in FP innovations, and all those works around new product development, we need to continue to focus to ensure that we get maximum value out of the resource and all aspects of the resource, and keeping a competitive lens across our policies is a key piece of that. And that's, you know, and I'm saying this collectively on part of our ministry, but also collectively on behalf of government, because it also means engagement and work across ministries as we do this. Important work with ministry, with John Rustad in Aboriginal reconciliation in Mar. Important work with Minister Bond in jobs and skills development training, making sure we have the labor force available in the future. Important work with Minister Oakes in the communities work as we work with communities as we transition through the next number of years in the industry. So this is a collective government approach to ensuring that we can see this industry continue to be a major and positive economic contributor to the province. And we in this room know that's the case. We need to continue to get that message out across the rest of the province and the rest of the public around the importance of this industry. As I said earlier, we do not take any of it for granted, and we're committed to continue to work closely and strongly with you in the months ahead. As minister, I really value the input of your organization. You through COFI and your committees and your work, your directors, your companies always bring a very constructive positive approach to the discussions. Sometimes critical, and which is important. Sometimes with lots of constructive advice, and I received some of that this morning. So we're optimistic about the future. This is an industry that we can all take great pride in, and we need to continue to and we know, and with the knowledge that's in the room, with the expertise, with the experience, we know that we can ensure that this industry has a long and prosperous future here in British Columbia. I just want to say before I close, I want to acknowledge and thank the members of all the staff within my ministry. I know a number of them are here in the room and have been participating in your convention or here observing and working with you. They do a tremendous job, and I know we put lots of pressure on them. I know at times there are frustrations with the pace of how we deal with things. But you have to know that they are all committed to making sure that we're successful going forward. And I really want to acknowledge and recognize their contribution to it. They provide great support and advice, and I really want to, as minister responsible for the ministry, recognize that. So just in closing, as I said, there's lots to be optimistic about for the future of the industry. Collectively, we have been successful because this has been a partnership approach. Partnership with industry, partnership with local governments, partnership with our federal colleagues in all of this work, and through this partnership, through continued collaboration, engagement, communication, I know we can face the challenges, and I know we can build on the opportunities that are there for the future of the industry. So, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for the continued work, and my door remains open to work with you, and we look forward to really focusing on those competitive issues and working with you in the future. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Minister Thompson. On behalf of the Council of Forest Industries and all the delegates here, I really want to thank you and your government as you continue to show support for the forest industry. It's very important to all of us. And that we, as we transform this industry going forward, not only to meet the post-recession challenges, but also the future challenges that have been identified during this conference. We look forward to working with you and your government as well.